removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, or at least half hour, they're going to be those of Michael Pacetti, and Michael is running for Board of Supervisors in the area where I live. Now, why is that of importance to people out across America? Well, of course, many of the experimental programs that have been introduced into America, the Program for Sustainable Development and Agenda 21, Medicare, many of the socialist programs have actually initially been tried out here where we live because, of course, we're a rather isolated community, a small little community where they were able to manipulate the newspaper, where they were able to control certainly the local government. And as a result of that, many of these programs, which are creating terrible problems across America, originated here. They took over our Board of Supervisors, our city council in Santa Cruz, probably 30 years ago when the university came in, and they've held control ever since then. Well, Mike Pacetti, I've known for a long time. He's a good conservative. He served on the Republican Central Committee for many years with me, and it's a pleasure to be able to introduce him to you. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And so why don't you tell our listeners how you see the problem and why you want to run for the Board of Supervisors and try to take our local community back?
Well, I think President Reagan spoke very well. He said the problem is not the people, it's the government. The government is not problem solvers. They are the problem.
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with that at all. In fact, I don't think there's any problem facing America today that another government program won't make an awful lot worse. So basically, of course, the initial level of government is either city or county, and we're a fairly relatively small county here, but I think that, of course, we have a tremendous influence, and it would be so wonderful to have people on the Board of Supervisors who did not support all of these Marxist schools and objectives of the people who are serving today. So why don't you tell me what motivated you to want to run for the Board of Supervisors?
Well, I supported other people in the past, and they didn't get very far. I sort of feel that I'm kind of led by God to do this. I put out a couple of fleeces, and they all come back to run.
All right. And, of course, we can talk a little bit more about that when we're talking to the people from our local area, and that'll be just in a moment or two. Now, what do you do for a living, Mike?
Well, I own Airmartronics, which is an avionics company. That's aviation electronics. I sell, install, and repair all the electronics in aircraft.
Oh, boy, how long have you been doing that now?
Well, it was 48 years ago. I went through the Navy school.
Okay, and so you've been doing it ever since, and of course works at the Watsonville Airport, and of course, do you get any customers in from any of the other airports as well?
Oh yeah, I have them coming all over the state.
So, it's quite a skill to be able to repair those the avionics. And of course, there's really so much. It's just increasing all the time. It's not only radio. What about transponders and all those things?
Yeah, transponders, radar, autopilot, all the navigation equipment.
So you keep the planes up there and you keep them safe, huh?
Well, we try.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess this is Mike Pacetti, and we're going to be back in just a moment or two with Mike as we let him talk a little bit about how he sees the problems in our community and hopefully how he would be able to approach those problems if he should be successful in running for the Board of Supervisors here in Santa Cruz County. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Mike Pacetti, and Mike Pacetti is running for the Board of Supervisors in Santa Cruz in the 1st Supervisorial District, and he's lived here. How long have you lived in Santa Cruz, Mike?
Well, let me see. Been over 60 years.
All right, well, that's a good long while. So you can live here almost 60 years or over 60 years, so you have an idea how that he's pretty well attuned to what's going on. And what has motivated you to want to run for the Board of Supervisors, and what do you hope to accomplish if you can get in?
Well, what caused me to decide to run was I just didn't like the way things were going.
All right.
And I felt that we needed to make some changes.
All right. Now, you've actually been on the school board there in Live Oak a couple of times, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm currently on it again.
All right. And so you have served, you know, on local boards in the past, and you were actually asked to run this time for school board in the Live Oak area. And, of course, see all the administrative things that go along with local government. So what do you see as the biggest problems facing our community today, and how would you hope to change them if, you know, that you should not only be elected, but if some other people could be elected in the other districts that felt as you did and really wanted to turn our community around?
Well, I think our big fear really is left-wing socialism. Socialism never has succeeded anywhere it's been tried. Why should we waste our government time and money on it?
Well, certainly we have a massive bureaucracy, and that's what socialism's really all about. It's about a massive bureaucracy. This idea of socialism is redistribution of wealth. No, it's all about control. Socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work without force, and it's all about control, whether it be Italian socialism, they call fascism, or the national socialism they had in Germany, it was socialism, whether it be the socialism they have in Russia or the socialism we have in the Monterey Bay area, and specifically here in our community, it's all about control. In fact, don't we have the largest planning commission anywhere, or I guess the second largest one in the state in our little county?
Yeah, the only one that's larger is Los Angeles.
And I think that tells you a lot why we're facing massive deficits right here in the Santa Cruz area, because, of course, these people want to spend and spend and regulate and control will be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mike Pacetti, and of course, Mike is going to be running for the Board of Supervisors in the 1st Supervisorial District in Santa Cruz. And so, Mike, why don't you just take off and just talk to our listeners, and many of the people will be living in your Supervisorial District. What do you hope to accomplish if you can get into office?
Well, one thing is no more taxes. We've got too many as it is. Matter of fact, I'd be in favor in reducing tax. I put my vote where my mouth is. Presently, the Live Oak School Board is investigating a partial tax. And right from the initial, I've been voting no on it.
And, of course, the thing is, government never has enough money. Why do they need the money? Well, they need it, of course, to pay large sums of money to their administrators and their bureaucracy, and they're constantly expanding. why in our small county should we have the largest, you know, the second largest planning organization, planning a commission in the entire state? Because we're controlled by socialists, and this is really the problem we're facing. So basically, of course, you'd be against raising the taxes. Do you anticipate there's going to be some real problems this coming year? Because, of course, of the budget deficits they're having at the state level, at the national level, and certainly the city is having budget problems. Isn't the county going to have budget problems as well?
Not if they were efficient in what they did or what they do.
Well, how can
more
we get
than enough money? There's a lot of waste.
How can we get them to be more efficient? In other words, what could you do as a member of the Board of Supervisors that would make them more efficient?
Well, we need to investigate each program that the government is doing, and those that are ineffective, just completely eliminate them. And those that are effective, that we should be doing, make them become more economical and continue serving better.
Okay, fine. Now, would there be some way of doing that? Would there be an administrative effort to do that? Would this be done by certainly the county administration? Would it be done by the Board of Supervisors? Certainly, we'd all like to see government work more efficiently, but we look at the federal government. Every time they come up with a new idea, things always get worse, it seems.
Well, there's examples all the way across the country of city governments and county governments where people have taken the initiative and economized things. And, you know, we need to look at those particular organizations and follow their example. I agree with you, there are kind of few, but there are some of them.
Well, I'm sure it can be done. You just have to have people who are willing to put their shoulder to the wheel and get things accomplished. Well, Mike, would you like to tell our listeners how they, if they wanted to get in touch with you and your campaign, how would they get in touch with you?
Okay, well, my email is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, dot or decimal point, Pisenti, that's spelled P-I-S-E-N-T-I, at Prodigy, P-R-O-D-I-G-Y, .net.
All right, and of course, if people wanted to help, what could they do to actually help you in your campaign?
Well, I need people to put up signs. I need people to go door-to-door to pass out literature. And I'm wanting to get a telephone bank going. Those are the things that I feel would be most effective.
And of course, winning a local campaign is just like winning a larger campaign, but you need an organization. So if you're out there and you're interested in knowing more about Mike, I suggest you get in touch with him and see if there's some way you can help. Certainly, as we look and see what's going on in our county government, we find, you know, we're having more and more problems. Certainly, we know on the other side of the county over there in Watsonville, there's an increase in the crime. And we're even seeing, you know, an increase in the rate of crime and murder right here in our own little community in Santa Cruz, and shootings, things like we never used to see in the past.
Well, you know, I had a breakfast this morning with a couple of old Boy Scout friends of mine. One of them was an Eagle Scout. And we were discussing this, and my suggestion was that we could get maybe 20 men that had the determination that Ralph Reeder had. That was our scoutmaster. Of course, he's long deceased now. We could change this community overnight, practically.
Well, I'm sure that's true, but of course you have to have, you know, into that power base. Unfortunately, the very essence of government is power, and, you know, when the bad people control it, of course they waste money and they keep looking for more in the way of bureaucracy to control the population. When the good people, you know, control it, why, you cut back on the bureaucracy and you let the people be free. And of course, well, if our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Mike, anything that you'd like to know about him or what his plan is as far as running for political office for the first supervisorial district here in the Monterey in Santa Cruz County. So again, the telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you live in the area. Or even if you live out across the country, why, give us a call. Because the problems all across the country are very much the same. There is a coordinated effort, simply in every community to use planning. And of course, then this gets us into sustainable development and Agenda 21. But to use these planning programs and visioning programs, and they have all sorts of names for them, but they all get back to the same thing, and that is total control over the individual, getting people out of their cars, getting them onto their bicycles. And you say that's sort of crazy. I mean, who'd want to get out of their car and their bicycles? But certainly here in the Monterey Bay area where we live, why, they've done everything they could to block rational approaches to traffic. Have you looked at all into, of course, the background of why we do not have adequate water in this area, or why we, you know, suddenly do not have adequate roads? After 30 years, they're going to widen an area maybe 5 miles long along our highway, but then we're going to be right back to two lanes going either direction, and that's a direct result of the activities of the radicals who actually took control of our community many years ago and believed in control by chaos. If they could make it chaotic enough, why, people wouldn't be in their cars. What are your solutions as far as the major highway one? What are we going to do about that? How are we going to get that widened to the point where we'll at least have one good thoroughfare through town?
Well, Caltrans has been wanting to do that for, I don't know, 20, 30 years or more,
right.
But the Board of Supervisors have blocked them. And I would remove that block and let Caltrans go ahead and expand that highway like it needs to be expanded.
And, of course, we have another highway coming in over the mountains, and it's a very narrow, winding road. They've been wanting to straighten that out for 30 years, and they've been consistently blocked by the people in our area who believe in control through chaos. And certainly we need to get people there who are going to, you know, do what's right to maintain, you know, the integrity of our transportation system, so people can, of course, come here. And we don't want an awful lot more people coming, but we can't keep them out simply by making the roads so inadequate and dangerous to drive that nobody will come. Because they have come, we've had massive growth, and despite all of the protestations and all the promises to the contrary, why, of course, we've had tremendous growth in this area. Well, Mike, you know, certainly, are there any other major problems that you would like to address in our community if you could get elected to the Board of Supervisors?
Well, the basic function of government, be it federal, state, or local, is public safety. Your police department, sheriff's department, court system, the jails and prisons and whatnot, and, of course, the fire departments. And some people think, and I kind of agree with them, that road is involved in public safety because, you know, if you got roads that are all falling apart, you have accidents and people get hurt. So those roads need to be taken care of. I would see to it that we had adequate protection from both the sheriff's department, the fire departments, and our roads. Now, they're exploring right now to see if they could get a sales tax or a partial tax or something to repair the roads. Hey, that's a basic function, and they get money from gasoline tax for roads. They don't need to go spend that off on somewhere else and then get charge us more tax to do the roads.
Okay, fine. And certainly, this is a constant battle. It seems that the elitists who run the local government don't want to fix the potholes because, of course, they certainly really don't want people in their cars. This is what's so hard for people to understand, is that there really are people who want to force us out of our automobiles and onto bicycles and so, or onto the local buses. And that is why, of course, they have never allowed the development of the roads and the transportation system that we really need to have here in our community or in any community. You need planning, there's no question, but it's got to be wise planning, and it's got to be major planning, not simply wanting to control everything that everybody does. And, of course, this means you have a bureaucracy taking away the freedom of the people. Well, now, are there any other major things that you'd like to talk about before we let you go?
Not that I can think of right at the moment.
All right, fine. Well, our guest today is Mike Pacenti, and Mike is running for the supervisorial position in the 1st Supervisorial District. And, Mike, again, let's get your telephone number out there.
Okay, my home phone is area code 831-476-3146.
Give that number one more time.
Okay, area code 831-476-3146.
All right, fine. Then what is your website again?
Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, .Pacenti, P-I-S-E-N-T-I, at Prodigy, P-R-O-D-I-G-Y, .net.
All right, that's Michael Pacenti at Prodigy.net. Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to having lunch with you next Wednesday.
Okay, I look forward to that, too.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to have open lines for the rest of the hour. And, of course, we do hope if you're out there in the listening audience, you'll give us a call. And, of course, there's so many things that are going on that we really need to talk about. We really need to talk about the rising cost of gasoline. Why is gasoline going up so high? Well, very, very simple, because they want it to go up, because they really want to get you out of your cars, and they know that if they get the price up high enough, that you will be forced to simply park your cars and take alternative means of transportation, either that or, if you're on a fixed income, giving up eating. And people do not understand, you know, as they look and see the skyrocketing cost of oil, that this is a definite byproduct, of course, of the programs that are being put forward at the present time that are aimed at destroying the value of the American dollar. One reason why the price of oil is going up is because the value of the American dollar is going down. And this is not happening simply by accident. It's happening by intent. And when you realize that there really is a plan out there to redistribute the wealth of the American people. For instance, the Earth Charter, written by three of the most wealthy occultists in our land or in the world. One of them is, of course, Mikhail Gorbachev, who is in America only part-time. His main time, he lives over in Russia, but he travels the world, and he has offices here in the United States for his State of the World Forum. And Maurice Strong is a multi-billionaire, and Stephen Rockefeller, who is a heir to the Rockefeller fortune, which dwarfs, of course, the fortunes of Bill Gates and certainly Warren Buffett. But these three men wrote something called the Earth Charter. And in that, in point 10A, they call for equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Now, how do you get equitable distribution between nations? Well, of course, the richest country in the world is the United States. And what you do is lower the living standards of the people and send the American people's wealth to other countries. And that is exactly what we're in the process of doing today. But the average American cannot believe this could be being done intentionally. And yet, of course, they've intentionally destroyed the value of our currency. And of course, as we see this thing unfolding, why, of course, we really need, of course, to begin looking forward to where this is going to end. And as the dollar keeps dropping in value, why more and more of our people are going to become impoverished. Because, of course, the price of goods are going up. The salaries of the average individual are not rising accordingly. And every year, especially if you're older and, of course, you're on a fixed income, your standard of living goes down. This is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. Certainly, if you read the book written by Maurice Strong, a multi-billionaire closely affiliated with the Rockefeller family, he tells you to think globally but act locally. Think globally, but act locally, and that's exactly what they are doing. They are undermining the very fabric of our society. They are, of course, progressively, step by step, sending more and more of our money to other countries. Here, the United States is having to borrow $2.5 billion every day. simply to pay our debts, and yet we are sending money all over the world to Africa and elsewhere to help other countries throughout the world. And, of course, many of these countries have a far better balance of payment than the United States. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, we're going to have open lines here for the rest of the hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, if there's anything you'd like to give us a talk about. But we were simply talking about how they are intentionally destroying the value of our currency. How do you destroy the value of our currency? Why, of course, you simply increase the amount of currency that's available. There's only a certain fixed amount of goods out there. And, of course, as you increase the amount of currency in circulation or the credit that's available or the other techniques that are designed to expand the monetary base, you decrease the value of the currency and you drive prices up. Most people think, and falsely, that inflation has to do with rising prices, and it does not. And that is, of course, what they want you to think. Inflation is an expansion of the money supply, an inflation of the money supply, which is then secondarily reflected in the rising prices of the goods you buy at the store. And, of course, one reason why the price of oil is going up is because the value of the dollar is going down. And, of course, let me once again get our telephone number out. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Stuart on the line from... hi, Stuart. How are you doing? You're from Central Texas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, just a comment. I wish your guest luck in his race for the seat, the county commissioner seat.
Well, we've known him for a long time. He's an honest man, and we wish him luck,
too.
Well,
he has your endorsement. I have no doubt about him. But I was a little disappointed in his answer to your question about the role of government. I kind of favor the opinion of the founding fathers. Government exists to protect our God-given rights.
Right, of course, but we do need, of course, at the local level, do need a fire department, we do need police, we do need our sheriffs, we do need roads. The function of the federal government was to be limited and defined.
Absolutely.
Matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be taken care of at the local, or the state or local level. In fact, according to this Federalist Paper 35, the function of the federal government was limited and defined, the function of the state and the local government was unlimited and ill-defined, because all matters dealing with the individual would be taken care of there. And, of course, we don't want the state government getting too involved in our lives either. But there are certain places we need government. We certainly need laws. If you don't have government, you end up with anarchy. But the least government that is compatible with the survival of society would be the ideal one for me. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, absolutely, I agree. And I just wanted to say, Dr. Stan, I listen almost every day, and you're one of my heroes. I pray for your protection and provision.
Well, I appreciate your protection. I'm not a hero, but I appreciate your prayers, because this is keeping us going, and we've been through a lot of things, and we're still here, and we hope we can continue. You're telling people about what's really going on out there. Until we address the spiritual forces behind what's going on, nothing really makes sense.
I think, Dr. Stan, you're one of the most eloquent leaders we have, and I sure appreciate you, and thank you very much.
God bless, and thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Stuart calling from Central Texas, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. And of course, if you believe what the government's telling you, you look up on the internet, the government says our inflation rate, core inflation, is 2.1%. They say that so that all they have to give the senior citizens on Social Security and those people who are very foolish enough to buy Treasury index bonds, indexed to inflation, that is, so they don't have to pay them the real rate of inflation that is being intentionally produced, but they're simply lying about the rate of inflation. The rate of inflation is somewhere between pretty close to 12% at the present time, as we see skyrocketing costs of our food products and skyrocketing costs of fuel. And the prices, all you have to do is just go down to into the stores and look and see what's going on and ask yourself, are you going to believe what the government says or are you going to believe your lying eyes? And, of course, they're simply not telling the truth. There are a number of people, of course, who do evaluate what's going on as far as inflation are concerned, and of course we have many of these people on our programs. We need people to understand that there is an effort to impoverish the American people. If you doubt it, you need to get, of course, the Earth Charter. You can pull it down off the Internet. If you can't get it, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the Earth Charter. It calls for a new spirituality. What they're really talking about, the destruction of Christianity and world government, but equitable distribution of wealth between nations. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and certainly we're beginning to see increasingly the ravages of inflation as far as the products we're buying, but of course we're also seeing the collapse of the housing market. We're seeing the collapse of the building market. We're seeing, in many respects, the collapse of the financial market in so many of the major institutions in our country, whether it be Citigroup, whether it be J.P. Morgan Chase, whether it be Merrill Lynch, whether it would certainly be the Bank of America. They're all, of course, losing massive amounts of money. Certainly, the third largest bank in the world is the Union Bank of Switzerland. The Union Bank of Switzerland has assets in the neighborhood of about $2 trillion. I mean, this is impossible for me to imagine that amount of money, but that's what they're really talking about, the third largest bank in the world with assets of about $2 trillion. But certainly in the last quarter of last year, the first quarter of this year, they had to write off over $39 billion. And they have another $70 or $72 billion that they may very well have on bad loans. And of course, they're having to go out and borrow money from all over the country, all over the world, to try to maintain the stability of their bank. If the Union Bank of Switzerland were to go down, it would have repercussions all throughout the world. And people really don't understand how shaky our financial system is, because the world financial system is simply a house of cards. Every currency in the world is a fiat money system. And down throughout history, there's nothing new in the world, except we've got computers now we didn't used to have. But they tried a fiat money system in ancient Greece, and it failed. And in fact, Aristotle, writing many years later, commented, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a fiat money system as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. There's nothing wrong with a fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. And of course, certainly we saw what happened in Rome when in the 3rd century A.D., when Diocletian had to impose wage and price controls to try to control the rapid inflation that was destroying the value of the savings of the Roman people. And, of course, eventually he resigned and went off to raise cabbages. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Adam. He's calling from Santa Cruz. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, we are open lines. If you have something you want to talk about, why, this is the time to do it. Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Okay. Would you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I listened to your show yesterday about the apple moth spray, and I got to tell you, I was really bummed out, you know.
Well, you ought to be.
I didn't really know that they were going to go and proceed with this for years, like you said in your program, every 30 days.
Adam, are you there? Oh, we lost Adam. I don't know what happened. Well, anyway, maybe Adam will call back again. Anyway, basically, here in the Monterey Bay area, why they have discovered the light brown apple moth. And this, of course, infests the Monterey Bay area. It's really found all up and down the Pacific coast, but it's up in the Sonoma, but it's primarily in the area where we live. And so the government, in their wisdom, wants to spray us with a carcinogenic spray. Of course, they say it's just because it's a carcinogen, it's very, very weak. And of course, so we're going to go ahead and spray anyway because we know there's no danger from it. But how do they know there's no danger from it? Where are the environmental impact studies? Where are the studies 30 years down the line where, of course, they've sprayed this and we find that people are not having any medical problems and there aren't any? They are simply experimenting on the people of our community. Hi, Adam. You're back again. Don't know how we lost you, but it's good to have you. Yeah, you were just talking about the program we've done on the spraying for the light brown apple moth. And I tell you, it's a frightening thing to contemplate, especially when you understand that there really are people in government who have a different worldview than you and I do. So you go ahead. Tell us what your views are.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, it makes me feel like they just want to just, you know, not do away with us, you know, slowly and you know, kind of conservatively. But I'm just kind of concerned because after I listened to your show yesterday, I watched the news and, you know, and then they were talking about, oh, you know, we won the battle and the local judge said that it's not an emergency and, so now everything's okay. And then they said, well, now the state's appealing it. And of course, so now, I mean, I'm just kind of wondering what, first of all, how many areas are there spraying? And second of all, you know, you said that they're going to go on for 10 years doing this?
Well, I didn't say that, but my guest was talking about that they would be doing this for a long period of time because they have to, of course, eradicate the light brown apple moth. But the question is, why do they have to eradicate it? It's been over in Australia and it's been over in New Zealand for, you know, probably 50 to 100 years. It's not a problem there as far as the crops are concerned. And of course, if you look at it logically, Adam, what they're saying is, look, this is a terrible danger to the agricultural area. And because, of course, you know, this could destroy, you know, the value of our crops. That's why we're going to spray the civilian areas. It would seem to me if you're worried about the agricultural impact, you'd spray the agricultural areas, and the reason they're not doing that is because, of course, they already use sprays that would take care of the light brown apple moth, and so they're simply lying to us about what they're going to do. Why do they want to do this? Well, of course, I believe, of course, there is a population control agenda. They're experimenting on our population. We know that the beginning of the last century, beginning of the 1900s, one person in 33 contracted cancer. Today, one person in two does. And government says, oh, shucks, we have no idea why that's happening, but we can assure you that it's not any of the sprays or the pesticides or the fluoride we're putting in your water or the aspartame we're putting in your food or the mercury we're putting in your mouth. And yet all of those are carcinogenic, and so is this pheromone that they're going to be spraying us with.
Yeah, so when do they plan on spraying it anyway?
Well, right now, of course, apparently the judge has put a halt on it. And for our listeners out across the country, our local city council and board of supervisors brought a lawsuit. It was heard by our local judge who said two things. My understanding is, number one, that this is not an emergency. It doesn't have to be done immediately. And secondly, is the light brown apple moth really a danger? Now, we talk to people who've been in touch with the people who went over at their own expense to New Zealand and talked to the people there, the people involved in agriculture, and they said, this is not a problem. We don't worry about it. We've had it here for, you know, over 50 to 100 years. So then why are they so intent upon getting rid of it here? And what is this going to do to the bees, to the other moths?
Yeah,
I mean, certainly, I'm very concerned about the bees, the butterflies, And, you know, but they say, well, there's nothing to worry about, you know. We're not going to spray the arrays where the butterflies are. Well, if it damages butterflies, what does it do to human beings?
Right.
What's going to happen to organic farming in this area? You know, we've got a lot of people who want to buy organic products that have not been sprayed. They're all going to be sprayed as a process of this spraying.
My son was totally sick. He's a, you know, he's in high school, but he was born with, you know, underdeveloped lungs, and so, you know, he's born a preemie. We built him up, and he just never had, you know, quite the. Anyways, he got sick from that, and he was sick for months. And I know people even in the San Jose area. It seems like after they sprayed that, everybody got sick, and they weren't just weak people. I mean, these were strong people. I mean, people that normally don't get sick, they got this particular cough.
Well, you know, you have to understand it has to do with the particle size. And apparently it's a very, very small particle size, and it will get into your lungs. It will produce problems. And they actually manufacture this in a way so that these particles are resistant, and they'll, of course, come down. They'll stick onto the plants, but they'll stick in your lungs as well. And what they're doing is experimenting with the American people. And when they, and the people in our community, when they tell you, as they have, well, we've investigated all these charges of people being sick and there's no truth to it, where, of course, is the proof of that? Can we believe what the government tells us? Remember when they told us about MTBE, we had to add it to the gasoline because it was going to purify the air? Ended up contaminating the air and the water, and then we found out they had absolutely no studies, and they lied to us, and they contaminated all sorts of community water supplies here in California with MTBE, and it cost us, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to get rid of it, and the damage that it did, and they simply lied to the public, and they said, why, this is wonderful stuff, there's nothing to worry about, not one scientific study behind them.
So, I mean, is there any way to stop them from spraying it? Do they have it on schedule?
Well, right now, of course, the schedule has been put off, but what we need is a angry group of people to demand that we stop this, to let Arnold Schwarzenegger realize this is the end of his political career if he goes along with this, and there is no long-term studies that show this is safe for the human beings. And they are endangering the lives, not only of the people, but of our children and of aquatic life. And, you know, what happens when we eat the plants that have been sprayed with this? Can it be washed off? Does the plant take it up? Does it absorb it? They don't know, and they haven't done any studies one way or the other. But let me tell you, of course, I thought the one thing that was brought up that was so interesting is the man who's going to make all the money, the man who's developed the spray, is one of the largest contributors to Arnold Schwarzenegger's political campaign. Isn't that interesting?
I listened to your show yesterday quite intently. Let me tell you, I was glued to the radio.
Well, I was actually, there was a delayed program. We'd done it about 4 or 5 days previously. And for some reason or other, probably just by coincidence, but we lost contact with our local radio station. The program was chopped up, and we wanted the people to hear that program, which is why we replayed it, and I wasn't there. But Sydney, I did the original interview with Roy Upton. He's a very courageous guy. We're going to have him, incidentally, on the KSCO on the 3rd of May, and try to get as many people as you can to listen to that. And we're just going to keep hammering it at this because they are experimenting with the American people. And when you understand there really is a genocidal agenda, if you go to Elberton, Georgia, you'll see the Georgia Guidestones. They never talk about this on their major media, but I've been there, and you can see them up on my website at radioliberty.com. And they've put up these stones where they talk about their four gigantic stones, and each one's in a different language on each side. So in 8 different languages, point number 1 of the 10 commandments, which I believe, of course, come from the occult organizations, is maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature, which doesn't sound too bad until you realize we have over 6 billion people in the world, and they're going to have to get over about 90% of them gone to accomplish what they want.
Well, on KSCO on the 3rd, what time is that guy going to be on?
It's going to be on the 12th. We're going to be doing the perspective program.
12 o'clock?
12 o'clock. That's Saturday, May 3rd.
All right, I'll be listening to that.
All right, and you get all your friends to listen, too. We need to get the people up in arms about this. When the people are up in arms, they're going to back off. And when, especially when we get talking about this, is really all about population control. They have killed hundreds of millions of people unnecessarily. Now, I don't know how you feel about DDT, but we've done an extensive study on it. We've actually interviewed some of the world's leading experts on that. And DDT was outlawed not because it was damaging the fish and the fauna, but because it was saving so many lives from malaria. It had saved almost 500 million lives, and they couldn't do that. There are too many people in the world. And so they outlawed DDT in 73, and since then we've killed almost 100 million people from malaria, predominantly children. If you believe in population control, this is a very, very effective approach. But if you are concerned about humanity, you'd say this is wrong. Suddenly now the World Health Organization has come out and said, oh, shucks, we made a mistake. It's all right to spray this in homes, and certainly it'll really cut down on the incidence of malaria, which it will. So what are you going to say about the 100 million people who are dead? And they tell you, of course, we lose a million people a year from malaria. They're lying. We actually lose 3 million people a year. You can verify that. Go up on the Internet and Google in malaria deaths, 3 million a year, and you'll find that what I'm telling you is true. But we cannot let the people understand that there really are evil and wicked people out there at key positions in our government whose dedication is to population control. All you need to do is read the writings of Jacques Cousteau. We have his writings in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991, where he talks about how the world is so out of balance, there are too many people. And as he says, it's a terrible thing to say, but we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day to bring the earth back into balance. Well, ladies and gentlemen, why doesn't anybody ever tell us what Jacques Cousteau said? I mean, he makes Adolf Hitler look like a piker. And, of course, we find out that many of these other people, people like Ted Turner, wanted to get the world population down to, maybe to 100 million or more. Now he's finally acknowledged maybe we could have about 2 billion, but it was simply because he got such a bad press by telling what he really wants, and that is to eliminate the vast majority of the people in the world. And we can give you instance after instance where people are talking about the necessity of eliminating 90% of the world's population. I believe they're going to produce famines, they're going to produce wars. In fact, if you read Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, that's The Impact of Science on Society, published in 1953, talks about how we can't kill enough people to abortion. That isn't very good, and war doesn't work very good. What we need is a major plague to sweep the earth every generation, and then we could get the population back in balance. This is Bertrand Russell. If he really feels that way, why doesn't anybody ever tell the public? We have the pages for the book, incidentally, if anybody wants them. We got permission from the current publisher to reproduce them, and we'd be glad to provide them free of charge if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. I'm doing all the talking, Adam. You pick up the story.
Well, I'll pick up the story, I guess, but you've got all the stories. I don't know. I really would like to know, you know, how long they're going to postpone it. What are the chances that they'll just go through with this thing anyways and just say, oh, you little Santa Cruz, you know? And I heard Schwarzenegger last night. He's saying, oh, you don't have to worry. You know, this is scientifically not proven to hurt you and this and that. Okay. And he just swam around it was like no big deal.
Well, he's lying, of course. He knows there are no scientific studies, long-term scientific studies. You ask him where the 20-year studies are on pheromone, and he doesn't have any. What about the carcinogenic? There are two carcinogenic substances in there. Well,
yep.
They say it's just a small amount. Well, how much is small? How much does it take to produce a cancer? Somebody is responsible for the fact that we have an exploding incidence of cancer in this country, and they know what the things that are doing it, and they're concealing it from the American people. One of them, of course, is milk. I mean, if you are a regular milk drinker and you're a woman, you're going to increase your incidence of breast carcinoma 5 to 8 times. A man, prostatic cancer, about three times increase in prostatic cancer. They will not allow that information to go out. And I'll tell you, since I've learned it, I drink a lot less milk and dairy products. Well,
oh,
I telephone.
Believe me too.
I telephone. Okay. Anything else, Adam?
No, I'm going to be listening to your show on KSCO in a third, and I don't know, maybe I'll make some flyers or something to get somebody listening.
You get them out, and you reach everybody you can, because to explain to them they're poisoning our children, and they really are. God bless. Thanks very much for calling.
God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our telephone number is 1-888 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, you have a comment, you agree, you disagree, we'd love to hear from you. If you haven't heard my talks on Nundare College Genocide, it's a DVD. We think it's an excellent, very short approach to what's going on, where we have another DVD called The Planned Population Reduction. It's about a two hours and 20 minute talk we gave at the Prophecy Club. We have another talk called Population Control. And there are really so many instances out there where they've actually let the information out that they really are planning on killing off the majority of the people in the world. And you say, that's crazy talk. I mean, who in the right mind would want to do something like that? And, well, of course, we're not dealing with people with the right mind. We're dealing with people who have a different worldview because they march to a different drumbeat and they dream a different dream. They want a different sort of world. Let's go to Rory, who's calling from Watsonville. Hi, Rory. How are you doing?
Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Is this the Rory who used to work in agriculture over there?
Yep, I still do.
Okay,
we have nine kids. So.
I know, with nine kids. I think it was about eight kids when we last talked to you. But anyway, how are we doing?
Good. It's been a while, Dr. Stan. I've been remiss in not calling, but I'm doing my best to deal with this underpopulation problem we're experiencing.
I'm glad you are. You're doing more than your share. But a family of nine kids, I congratulate you.
Thank you. But on this LBAM or the light brown apple moth deal,
right.
I followed it some when it first got going. I haven't been following it as close of late, but I did look up the MSDS on that Checkmate product way back like 5-6 months ago, and it's pretty innocuous product. I mean, if you look at the LD50 values on it, it's way over 5,000. I mean, it's like five times less toxic than aspirin. I mean, you can just go on and on. So I'm not, and it's a mimic, it's a hormone mimic. So basically that pheromone and lots of other pheromones from lots of other insects are in our air. We're breathing this stuff all the time, every day.
Well,
it doesn't have to be from moths, it can be from cockroaches.
But who is it determined how safe it is? Who actually did the...
I'm sure it got
hold there just for a moment. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's that?
Oh, go right ahead now. Who actually did the studies on this?
You know, if you go in and look on it, any compound that's used in U.S. agriculture, and especially in California, it goes through both U.S. EPA screening for toxicity, carcinogenicity, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not an expert on this.
Well, I am pretty much of an expert on the EPA, and I will tell you that the EPA is totally political. In fact, I can give you an article we just got that where the people there at the EPA, the scientists, have said they're not allowed to put out the true science. They're actually prevented from putting out the true science, and they're told how to write the reports by their superior.
You're talking like with fluoride.
I'm talking about fluoride, but certainly I don't know about this product. But the thing is that this is all political. And certainly we know that they are poisoning us with fluoride, and the EPA is going right along with it. But
I understand that, and there's economic access to grind there. We know that.
All right, fine.
I'm just trying to look at this. The other way that they were going to deal with this was just have us all blanket spray an insecticide called Lorsman.
But the question is,
it doesn't make a lot of sense either. So this is going to be like the least toxic, the best, the most progressive way to deal with it, which is to trick the insect into reproducing before the right time.
But of course, Rory, is this a problem? Is this really a problem? The people who've been over to New Zealand and talked to the farmers there, where they've had this for 50 to 100 years, say it is not a problem, because when they spray their fields, ordinarily they use things that will take care of the light brown apple moth, and it is not a problem.
Right.
For
it's
them.
Not, you know, for us in strawberries, it's not a big deal, but it does come down to, you know, you do have export markets, and other countries can put punitive measures against you, real or perceived.
Well, but
that's what rains today. So they were. The idea was to try to get this thing under control with the least harmful way, because this thing is only going to affect the insect.
Have you
the target insect?
But why? Well, if it only affects the target insects, then why are they going to avoid spraying the area around the monarch butterflies?
I don't know. It's a precaution, but I'm sure that this this pheromone is specific to this insect. They're not all the same. As you know, Dr. Stan, things are real specific biologically.
But you know that this will not affect the bees. It will not affect other insects.
It shouldn't affect the bees.
But the bees is a separate issue. Where are the independent studies that are not, of course, politically motivated?
You know, I'm not an expert on it, but
okay.
There's lots of people that could speak to it. DPR is another agency that has to review these things, and they're pretty strict.
Okay, well, we're out of time, Rory. God bless, and thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, God bless you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, that was Rory calling from Watsonville. He works in the agricultural area, and he thinks that if the EPA said it's all right, got to be all right. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, we'd suggest that simply if anybody's interested in the moth, the light brown apple moth, that you get these recent interview we did with Rory Upton, who's really got a lot of information on this. And, of course, they keep telling us it's correct, you can trust us, because we're from the government, and we're here to help. Can the EPA be trusted? Well, of course, we know that they're poisoning our population with water fluoridation. If you want to know what the scientists at the EPA really think, you go to NTEU280.org. That's www.NTEU280.org. And here's where the scientists from the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C. tell you what they really think about the way they're poisoning our population. But, of course, they're not allowed to come out and get this out. They've tried to get the information out, totally blocked by the mass media. And, of course, they were told the EPA says this pheromone's okay, but can we really believe them? Or is this all political? Is there a population control agenda? Well, we hope that you'll want to get our talk on Nundare College genocide, our talk on the population control reduction, our talk on population control, our four-tape set on population control, and our population control agenda monograph, which is available on our website at radioliberty.com. You need to find out if there really are people out there who want to kill off the majority of the population. You want to find out what Jacques Cousteau really said in an interview for the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991. And if you'd like, of course, those pages, we'd be glad to send them to you. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to get my treatise on population control agenda monograph, it's up on our website at radioliberty.com. Or if you get any of the other items we're offering, why, you could just request a free copy of this. You need to find out if this is really true. Can we trust Arnold Schwarzenegger? Can we trust the people who work there in Sacramento who are under political pressure to use this product? This is a massive experiment. Show me the areas, in the United States where this has been used, and it's been safe, and what are the long-term follow-ups? Should we be concerned because it contains carcinogens? We're told, of course, it's just to confuse the moths. What will it do to confuse the bees? And, of course, there is a great many people, some people, I should say, who commented, of course, the impact on the bees with the initial spraying. And the impact on the birds. And if there's nothing to worry about, certainly why don't they spray the agricultural areas instead of spraying the area where the population is? Why are they going to avoid spraying over the open water if there's no danger? Why are they going to avoid spraying the areas where the monarch butterfly is if this is only for the moth? Show me the long-term studies, and there really are no long-term studies, and over certainly in New Zealand and secondarily in Australia where this has been for a long period of time, why, of course, they don't worry about it. And now they say, well, my goodness, we're not going to be able to export our crops. Well, they have it in New Zealand, and we get in, thousands of, I think 3,000 of these great big cartons of things from New Zealand every single year. This is not a problem bringing things into this country from New Zealand where they have the light brown apple moth. And when they don't do spraying, they try to get rid of it, you know, at least in the general population. So why are we so worried about exporting? Well, because they have actually put this into the regulations. Because we put it into the regulations, other people have put it into the regulations. I think that we really need to understand there are people out there who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. And we do hope that many of you, of course, will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our number 1-800-544-8927. You want to get our material on population control. You won't find anything quite comparable anyplace. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. But please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.